Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're going to talk some NBA basketball here today on Drive Time Sports. Love having this segment on Monday where we can kind of set the stage for the week and kind of recap what went down over the weekend, especially yesterday. It was a big day in the world of Lakerland as Pat Riley received his statue, rightfully so, out front of Crypto.com Arena. And the Lakers held this day, held the ceremony on this specific day because of the rich tradition, the rich rivalry with the Boston Celtics, where the Celtics then took it to the Lakers last night on the Peacock. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the final 20 games of the season. Right now, joining us over the phone, we have James Holas, who was always kind enough to join us. He's our NBA analyst. James, great to hear from you again. Thank you.
I mean, Jaylen Brown said it best when he talked about Al Horford and Kristaps that, you know, the biggest sign of respect he could give them is like taking the belt to them. Same thing with Lakers, right? We love the rivalry, Boston Celtics and Lakers. And so as a sign of respect, the Celtics took the Lakers behind the woodshed yesterday and really paid their respects.
Well, you definitely did. There's no question about that. And I know that there was a Laker legend in particular, James Worthy, who was not too thrilled with the lack of effort or the effort or the lack thereof that he saw from the Lakers as he talked about just respecting the uniform. And so, James, that specific comment really made me start thinking about the franchises. It seems like I'm always on here praising the Boston Celtics and the way they run things within their front office. A lack of pride, right? Is it easy to have pride in a rivalry like the Lakers-Celtics when you are A, homegrown, or B, you have roots within one of the franchises? Because if you take a look at where the Lakers are at right now, not a lot of guys fit that bill. We flip over, we take a look at the Celtics, plenty of guys fit that bill. It's a fun conversation to kind of think about.
It is, and I listened to a podcast after one of my favorite things to do after a good Celtics win is listen to the opposition podcast. And the Laker podcast, he made a really good point. He said, we're going to call this a culture loss. The same way that there could be like a culture wins, culture loss, because a lot like you just said, the Lakers have been a team of mercenaries, right? You got, obviously, Bron's been there for now, what, 6, 7 years, maybe more.
Eight years.
You know, other than that, that's really it, right? All threes were drafted, a couple other guys, but for the point, yeah, a lot of guys who just aren't really steeped in the culture of it. Along with culture, hand in hand, I use the term, and you know this term, institutional know-how, like institutional knowledge, where so many things in Boston, from the top down, they're in lockstep. The front office, the coaching staff, they know what kind of players to bring in, what kind of guys they want to scout. And it leads to what you have now, where Boston expected to be a bad team this year, or at least a mediocre team, has been really good. Everything works in lockstep. That's institutional knowledge. That's it. Everything just working together. The Lakers just don't have that. You're 100% correct, where DeAndre Ayton came in, he already let everybody know, I have nothing left to prove. I got a max contract. We know, obviously, Marcus Smart at one point was a very useful role player. He's just not that guy anymore. And the pieces just don't fit. You got Luka and a bunch of mismatched parts and, you know, LeBron and even him and Austin don't fit together. So it's definitely, there's another thing I'll bring up later about what I think it is, but what you said, you make a great point. How much pride are these guys going to have in Lakers-Celtics, Lakers-Celtics when they haven't been part of the franchise, they haven't been part of the traditions. And I can imagine how much it steams guys like James Worthy to see a big production like they did for the Pat Riley statue presentation, and then they just don't come out with any energy. They don't come out with any kind of force. So it's an indictment of the franchise leadership right now.
And it's not a popular thing to say, but I have no problem saying it. I believe it's an indictment on LeBron James. And the reason I say this is you mentioned that he's been there for 8 years. The roster has been a revolving door. And I think if you take a look over the course of LeBron's career, most of the pieces around him have been a revolving door. What made the Lakers-Celtics rivalry so unique throughout the 80s, and we could even go back into the 2000s, right, when it was kind of reignited with Kobe and Gasol, and you look at Pierce and Allen and KG, pieces around, the core pieces around a superstar player are rarely altered to the extent that they are when LeBron James is within a franchise. And I don't know if that is, it's, LeBron haters would say, well, he's the GM. He's the one that's pulling the strings behind the curtain. Those who love LeBron James apologists would say that's not the case, right? So the fact of the matter is, when you take a look at this guy's four championship rings, okay, he won his first two with Wade and Bosch. He won his next one with Kyrie and Love. He won his next one with Anthony Davis. No superstar with that amount of championships has won that amount of championships with a completely different core around him. And that's why I believe most of it is an indictment on LeBron James, because this is what happens wherever he goes.
I'm going to push back a little bit, though, because we saw in Miami, he at one point went and wanted the coach fired. He made certain demands, and guess what? Pat Riley stood up to him and said, no, we're not doing that.
Because of Pat Riley, he's the only one that's ever done that.
And that's good on Pat Riley, but that should have been something for other GMs to take note of. Because
correct.
You are the GM, and right with institutional knowledge goes institutional fortitude. You believe in what you do, and you have core values, and you come up with a game plan of what you're trying to do around LeBron James, you do it. And you make it like, you know, you don't trade six rotation players like I think the Cavs did that one year where they like shipped out a whole bunch of guys, brought in, and they, hey, it worked, right? They've got, but like to your point, you're trying to build on the fly because you got this great talent. We know LeBron hasn't been that guy in the last few years, so the Lakers hit the lottery and they got Luka Doncic, and here we are a little over a year later. They haven't made major roster moves around to fit Luka. They're still trying to shoehorn in LeBron. And, again, they punted on this year by not making a big move at the deadline. And this is, you know, that'll be two wasted years of having Luka Doncic on the roster. That's institutional malfeasance. That is just a front office. And, sure, we know that Rob Pelinka won a championship with the Lakers a few years ago, and that set the tone. But since then, he has not done a great job of putting the right pieces around LeBron. No matter if LeBron wanted him like Russell Westbrook, then you made the wrong call. You can't do that. You're the GM. You got to take responsibility. Since then, there've been a series of baffling moves from Gabe Vincent, and it is definitely an institutional breakdown as far as in the front office. And I'm gonna say coaching. I don't think we saw yesterday one team was very disciplined, another team was the Lakers. I don't think Coach what's his name? J.J. Redick. I don't think he was ready for how much actual coaching he needed to do. Like, basically onto the bedrock of getting these guys ready. Because they're not. They make bad rotations. They take bad angles. They're sloppy with their double teams. They're not a quality team with good discipline. And that's on the coaching.
I agree with you. So, yes, I mean, I think that there's levels to it, right? So, obviously, and you know what? Let me say this. In regards to blaming LeBron James, maybe it is a little, it's easy, it's lazy in a sense, but he's guilty of it too. I think it starts from the top and the bottom, and this is exactly what the Lakers are trying to fix right now. But I also think it's a league-wide problem. And I also believe it's the reason why your Boston Celtics can endure losing someone like a Jason Tatum, and they could be 37-19 and in second place of the Eastern Conference based off what they have in place at the very top, all the way down to the bottom. You know the old saying, heat culture? There's a reason why heat culture existed. It was because of Pat Riley, right, and what he brings to the table. If you want to flip sports, we can talk about the Cardinal way in baseball. I hate that, right? Being a big baseball guy, I hate the Cardinal way. But there's a reason for it, because they were always competitive, even without the highest payroll. Same thing could be said about the Patriots in the NFL. There's something to be said about organizations that do not let the inmates run the asylum. And unfortunately in L.A., since LeBron James came over, that has not been the case. So you can put the blame wherever you want. I think that there's several different avenues where you can hand out this blame, though, James.
I think 100% you're right. This is blame pie. They all deserve a piece of it, because no matter what, sure, he's trying to appease LeBron James. And LeBron has been notoriously finicky about the guys he wants around him and mercurial about kind of what he wants to do. But, again, up and down the roster, up and down the franchise, you can blame whoever. But, again, that's what it is, right? At the end of the day, if you look at the final product, we have a team that doesn't have enough shooting, doesn't have enough athleticism. Their second-best player is, you know, in his 40s. And showing it, LeBron's having one of the worst statistical seasons of his career. Luka came into the season gangbusters, but he seems to be almost like a man on a mission just to show he can score in the most circus ways possible. And Austin Reeves has been kind of relegated to an awkward third banana, right? The third option, and he's not really getting the chances he was getting early in the season. So at the end of the day, just what it is a franchise that has all the resources in the world, right? They print money over there. They just got a new ownership group in. They're doing different things now, but there's still big money going around, and they look like a mom-and-pop shop that doesn't quite know what they're doing. And that's an indictment on, you know, let's be real, Jeannie Buss, I think, kind of has not ran things great the last few years, and this is what we got now. We have a mess in Los Angeles.
Doesn't it kind of reek of the New York Knicks when they went out and they nabbed Amari Stoudemire all those years ago when there was this idea that maybe they could lure LeBron, and they go out, they make the move for Carmelo Anthony? It was kind of an organization that was relying on the history and kind of the nostalgia behind the name, but there wasn't enough competence within the front office to actually make them relevant based off of their current status, because that's kind of the vibe I get from this Laker team.
The parallels with James Dolan are absolutely eerie. You make a great point. Because that was Dolan's thing, is we have the money, we have the cachet, we are the Knicks. If we decide to do it, it's the right choice, and it was a spectacular flameout almost year after year. The Carmelo, you know, they had a couple good years, with, and that made them think, okay, we're on the right track, and they obviously were not on the right track. 100% where it's maybe an ownership group or an owner bringing in people who are more yes-men than who knew what they were doing. And yeah, that's the Lakers, man. Like, even now, they're star hunting, and they're passing up on good moves because they want to hit the home run, and that just can't happen. You know, I keep bringing back the Celtics because that's where, you know, who just whopped them the other day. Boston has went and found minimal level players. They found guys who they went and looked at the tape and found a guy. Okay, he barely plays over here, but we can have him do this in our system. And they are optimizing these guys, and they are empowering these guys, and to the point where you can tell how much pride a guy like Hugo Gonzalez takes in playing defense. And Jordan Walsh, who was almost out of the league last year, is now playing key minutes and giving good defense. Like, the fact that they found these great role players for cheap or in the draft, and they're developing them means so much. While what's the development? Like, Dalton Connect is almost probably, you know, out of Los Angeles, and no one knows what he is. It's kind of an indictment overall. And like, sooner or later, unless they get some new talent evaluation in Los Angeles, the chickens go home to roost, and all this is going to just fall apart.
James Holas again joining us right now as we talk NBA basketball. James, if we look at some of the other organizations that seem to be hitting their stride right now, one would be the Detroit Pistons, the only team of the Eastern Conference that has a better record than your Celtics. Am I crazy right now, as we sit here on February 23rd, am I crazy to say that if I had a vote for the MVP, I would go ahead and select Cade Cunningham, who right now is nearly averaging a double-double with points and assists? And then you take a look at the 6 rebounds per game, and you take a look at the way the Pistons are playing at 42-13 and in first in the Eastern Conference. To me right now, I think he may be the MVP of the league.
You are not crazy. That's a good choice, because Cade right now, he hits all the tropes. Best player on the best team in the East. One of the best teams in the league, right there, not too far behind OKC. He's not a liability on defense. He is their best playmaker. He is their best clutch player. He is the straw that makes everything go, and he's legit. He's legit great. It's not like he's just, all right, you know, best player on the best team, let's give him the vote. No, he's went toe-to-toe with some of the best in the league. He's big, he's physical, he's strong, he's a lot of fun, he has a good flair. He has a lot of, for lack of a better word, swagger, which we all, you know, we love that personality on that stage. So you're not crazy at all, especially with a lot of the other guys getting hit with the 65, or almost hit with the 65-game rule where they won't be eligible, right? So Giannis is already out. Joker's really close to being out. I think Wembanyama's been incredible, and he'd be probably my pick, you know, as far as over Cade, but people look at games played, how good Spurs were without him, too. So, no, Cade has been incredible. The Pistons are an amazing story. Just a few years ago, one of the worst teams in the league. And to see them where they are now, I love it. Especially since they own the New York Knicks this season.
And is it a cautionary tale, right, for the teams that go superstar hunting all the time? I mean, we were just talking about this with Lakers. We use the reference to the Knicks. The fact of the matter is, we're looking at a starting five. What is it? Cade Cunningham, Azur Thompson, Tobias Harris, Duncan Robinson, Jalen Duren. I mean, this is their starting five right in Detroit. It feels similar to what we were talking about with OKC maybe 2 years ago, where it is no longer a superstar-driven league, where you can build within, you can do things the right way and develop a competitive team. And I feel like for the NBA, there for a while, it was who was going to cash in free agency, right? This right here is another example of we are past that stage and what was a very, I don't know, slim era of NBA basketball, maybe like a five-year gap where we were superstar hunting. That's what people were doing in the offseason. You don't need that anymore.
I think people will always kind of do that, but because of the new cap environment now, you can't have three stars on one team and another all-star. You got to have maybe one or two guys. But the big thing that has always been consistent, even though the Heat had the big three, they also went and got Shane Battier.
Yep.
They got Udonis Haslem was there as support. And they have, so they have the right guys around, the minimum or, you know, very low salary guys to fit in to do the dirty work. The Warriors, sure, it was Steph, Clay, and Draymond. Then after that was, KD, but before that, Sean Livingston. They had David West, who was playing good minutes. So, like, there's something to be said about being able to identify the cracks and the crevices in your offensive defense and being able to fill it with like, utility guys versus saying, we're going to, we're going to spend big money on this guy who really just doesn't quite fit because he's a name. So, I think it's always been an underrated part of team building, be it with the superstar super teams or, you know, like a team like the Celtics now. Again, I keep coming back to them. They've done an amazing job of filling their roster with kind of minimum salary cast-offs who are playing effective and efficient basketball right now. So that's a big deal. That's a very big deal. And I think, like you said, the Lakers haven't been doing a good job of that.
I think there's several teams that haven't been doing a great job of that. But, James, as we get down to the final 20 games of the season, I still think there's some fascinating storylines. I think the Western Conference, the 10 teams are set. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't see Memphis or Dallas overtaking the Clippers, regardless of which way they're playing. Eastern Conference, maybe Milwaukee finds a way to sneak in. Charlotte's played some really good basketball as of late. I think 1, 2, 3, 4, really, in the Eastern Conference. I'd be surprised if there's any changes there. Maybe in the Western Conference there's some room for some changes. But when you look at the final 25 games, what are you most monitoring? What are you looking at and saying, okay, we have to follow this because this could change the landscape of the postseason?
I'm absolutely monitoring. So Golden State right now is, I think, a game and a half, two games behind Phoenix in the eighth spot.
Yeah.
Steph Curry's still out, and Kristaps Porzingis, poor guy, he's out for at least next couple of games. He's dealing with that really, really, like, tricky illness he's having. So Golden State might fall altogether, and also like the fact that there's talk about maybe benching Draymond. Philly, obviously Philly was a really feel-good story. They've lost like four of the last five or something. But Embiid is now dealing with a different injury, right? Soreness, I think it was his shin or something like that, and now he's missing games again. And it's such a – I feel bad for Philly fans for once. They might be the enemy, but just the way that their seasons have gone. Cleveland, obviously they got James Harden in. They've been on a roll. Tough losses in the other night, but, like, they have a whole new – there's always, you know, a reinvigoration when you bring in a guy mid-season, especially a big-name guy is part of it. And what else we got?
You know, for me, I think really one of the interesting things would be Denver and Houston. I don't believe the Lakers will overtake Houston or Denver, but I'm watching that number three, number four matchup. There's a world of a difference there between those two spots, and the fact that the Nuggets have not significantly fallen without Joker, I think is a story in itself, James.
Well, not only that, but the Nuggets have actually played almost worse since Joker came back.
Yeah.
You know what? Hey, you would think, same core together. We talked about institutional knowledge. Hey, they'll be good to go when he comes back. Something about him integrating right now has been a struggle. They're struggling a little bit right now. Same thing with Houston, right? I think Houston is showing some glaring weaknesses. Roster contribution, right? They lost Fred VanVleet. They never really replaced him, and they were fine the first part of the season, but we're seeing now they need an organizer, need a point guard. So that's a very good call, man. Houston, is that loss against the Knicks That's unacceptable. You can't be up 18 in the fourth and end up losing the game. You just cannot do that. Phoenix, obviously, Dylan Brooks is going to be out for a while, so they might really fall. So I think the bottom of the West is actually in really good shape. Like, they're almost so bad and flawed, anyone can come out of that bottom of the West. I'm pulling for the Trailblazers to make a little run and pop up a little higher, get out of that nine spot. So the fact that there's so much movement still available this late in the season is actually a really good thing, right? Because we all know that this kind of normally the dog day of the season when teams are tanking. But we have a lot of things unanswered right now, and I love to see it as we go down the home stretch.
It's probably the best part of the NBA season, the final 20 games of the regular season. It probably is. At this point in time, the way things have gone as of late, I mean, again, get rid of the teams that are openly tanking. But, I mean, when you're looking at competitive basketball, and I think this is where the play-in round does help in that sense, where you have 20 teams competing for a playoff spot instead of 16, and you're trying to jockey for position, the final 20 games are the best part of the regular season, hands down.
And you know what? Normally, I would kind of push back only because, like, I think normally by this time it's kind of like sewn up. There's one or two teams in each conference that are really pushing it, and everybody's kind of locked in. But there's a lot of jockeying that's going to go on here. We didn't even talk about Miami. Now, Miami, I thought they've been really struggling, and that they're in that eighth spot right there on Orlando's tail. Can Paolo Banchero get it together? Because Orlando's been really disappointing this year. Can they make a late push and actually be respectable? I love Scotty Barnes and the Raptors. Can they make some noise? Because they've been one of the surprise teams, and even though they've tailed off a little bit now, they're in fifth. They're still, you know, I don't think anybody thought that they'd be, you know, 11 games over 500 right now. So I love the fact that we know that tanking has been the big story, but I think you'll agree with me that this season has been actually really entertaining and very competitive at a very high level for a lot of teams.
Yeah, for the most part it has. Yep, for the most part it has. He is James Holis again, always kind enough to take out the time to join us every Monday to talk NBA basketball. James, before I let you go, where can we find more of you?
I just talk, you know, nonsense on all social media sites under the name Snotty Drippin', homage to the great Scottie Pippen, just replaced a couple letters, where I spent the last maybe 12 hours just retweeting all kind of Lakers slander.
Easy target right now. It's low-hanging fruit. James, always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you, man. I'm sorry I lost you there for a second, but hey, I'm never going to lose your friendship.
Hey, never, never. You are the man. I look forward to it each week. Have a good one.
You're the man, bro. Thanks.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Plenty more local sports coming up, and of course, we'll touch on some more national topics, including Major League Baseball. It's nice to have spring training back, right? Less than 30 or around 30 days from the start of the season. So we'll dive into that tomorrow as well. I want to thank Coach Dave Justice. I want to thank James Holis. Always fun to be along with you. Be safe. We are out.